So there was this brilliant magician who was serving on an ocean liner. Every time he did a trick, however, the captain's parrot would yell, "It's a trick! He's a phony! That's not magic!" And this went on and on during this particular voyage. And then one evening there happened to come a big storm, and the ship actually sank while the magician was performing. And it happened that the parrot and the magician were in the same lifeboat. So several days, the two of them just kind of stared at each other, silent, saying nothing. Finally, after about 3 days, the parrot looks at the magician and said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" Terrible. But you know, there's always that point in a magic trick where you have that ta-da moment, right? To where the rabbit gets pulled out of the hat or something like that, and a moment where jaws drop and everybody says, "Ooh," all together. You know, our scripture this morning isn't a magic trick, but if we are willing to hear it, it should be a moment where we say, "Ooh," at what God is revealing to us. So let's read our scripture this morning from the book of Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the last handful of weeks, we have been talking about following the way, right? And we have been focusing on different aspects of what that means. And we have looked at different kind of theme words of becoming and reflecting and applying. And today what we're talking about is revealing. You know, how do we reveal the way within us? Now, to me, the book of Acts is a very revealing book. I mean, it is a book that reveals the early church and the power that existed in the early church. And Acts chapter 2 specifically reveals the heart of following the way. And so I wonder, you know, what can we learn from these first century followers of the way, these early Christians? The first thing I think we can learn from them is that their lives revealed an incredible commitment to the way of Christ. Now, we're told that the early believers were devoted, verse 42, and that they continued to meet, in verse 46, every day. And the same word is used in both verses, and the word highlights this idea of commitment, of perseverance, of passion, intensity, and focus. Now, the mere fact that these people were committed in and of itself does not set them apart from other people. You know, people are committed to a whole lot of things. They may be committed to their jobs or to success, making money, developing some sort of athletic ability in themselves or their children. People are committed to their families and their hobbies. They're even committed to their political ideologies. Simply being committed does not set us apart from others. What set these believers apart was what they were committed to. And the things that they were committed to, I think, are especially important for us. First of all, they were committed to Scripture. You know, we're told that they were committed to the apostles' teaching. And at this point, right, there was this incredible influx into the church. 3,000 had just been added to the church in the very first day. And the only way they had to learn about Jesus was through the teaching of the apostles. And they were hungry to learn more about their Savior. Now, this should be true of any believer, right? A person who truly trusts Christ wants to know more about him. And the best way for us to do that is to study the Bible. The people of God need to hear God's word. We need to hear God's word. We do not need opinions about how to live a better life. You know, in our world today, we need to be especially cautious of churches where the Bible is not opened, where the Bible is not referred to. Right? We seek a daily and an attentive encounter with God's word, and that is more important than reading the paper or watching the news, sleeping later, or even eating breakfast. You know, our daily time with God, our daily time in the word, needs to be a priority, as it was in the early church. Now, the second thing that they were committed to was that they were committed to each other. And notice that phrase. It says, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And there's an important distinction to be made here, because there are a lot of people who are devoted to fellowship. Right? They are eager for each and every opportunity to get together and to have some fun. And they make time to go out and have a good time with their friends. Now, having a good time is not a bad thing. I enjoy a good time. But the goal of the early church was not just to get together to have some fun. The goal was to grow in and with one another. Right? These people were committed to each other. Now, following Christ in this day could be very costly. Right? You could lose your job. You could lose customers. People had to quit what they were doing because it was contrary to their faith. They were cut off from family. And so they helped each other. They considered their new Christian friends to be their family. You know, there's a unique bond between brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the word for fellowship that's being used here is the Greek word koinonia. And it carries with it this sense of sharing and of intimacy. Right? This is why we can meet a fellow believer for the very first time and immediately feel this kinship, that we are connected, that we are on the same road, traveling the same direction. You know, there was times, you know, a handful of years ago when I was in Zimbabwe, you know, church services over there normally would run 3 hours if it was a quick service. It's in a language I didn't understand, but I was at home, and the 3 hours seemed like it flew by. You know, these were my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I may not have understood what they were saying, but I understood who they were worshiping. Right? We were on the same road. There's a kinship. Right, because we're committed to one another. And we're committed to worship. Or they were committed to worship in the early church. You know, we're told that they were committed to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the breaking of bread could have referred to, having a meal together, and it could also refer to communion. More than likely, it was referring to both. In those days, the people would gather together to have a meal, and then at the end of their time together would celebrate communion. Right, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to help us remember and to proclaim the gospel. And we need to celebrate the Lord's Supper as often as necessary to keep us focused, but not so often as to make communion simply a ritual that loses its value. And so they celebrated communion. They gave attention to prayers. Now, this doesn't mean that they simply went through the motions of prayer. It means that they were regular and disciplined in how they prayed. As we read through the book of Acts, you will read of a church on their knees. You will read of a church in prayer. They confessed their sins. They sought God's will. They fellowshipped with God, and they prayed for one another. You know, when we are inconsistent in our pursuit of solid instruction in the Bible, or fellowship with other believers, and worship and prayer, it affects the quality of our spiritual life. You know, much like a marriage relationship, right? If I don't talk to Jan for a week, our relationship's going to suffer. We're still married, But it's going to affect our communication. It's going to affect our intimacy. It's going to affect our relationship. This type of inconsistency leads to a lack of joy. It can lead to a compromise with how we live out our faith, our witness to the world. You know, we need to be committed. We need to be committed to God. We need to be committed to the Word and to one another. The second thing that the early church would show us is that their lives showed a holy reverence. Now, Luke tells us that in the early church, everybody was filled with awe at what was going on. Now, that word awe is the word phobia. And oftentimes we translate that word phobia into fear. But the early church had a fear of God. Right? They respected God's power. They respected God's standards and God's might. They respected his place as the ruler of the universe. They did not take him lightly. And again, notice that the text says everybody was filled with awe. Because as a result of these believers, how they lived out their faith, their commitment to one another, even the people who were outside of the faith came to respect the God of the Christians. Right? As we learn about God, we learn about his greatness. And as we see his holiness, we more clearly become aware of our sinfulness. When we examine our standards, when we examine his standards, we become aware of his wisdom and our failures. We see God's work in our lives and in the lives of others. And we're humbled by his transforming love and power. We fear him because of his greatness. We revere him. Right? When we recognize our sin, we fear him because of his judgment. But when we discover and experience his grace, we tremble before him because he is so magnificent. We are reverent because words seem foolishness before him. And we recognize that we have nothing to teach God, and we have everything to learn from him. The early church was reverent because of God's power. We're told that the apostles did all kinds of miracles. Right? Every time the people of God saw one of these miracles, they were strengthened in their faith. Every time they witnessed God's intervention, they were humbled again by their unworthiness and by God's incredible power. And so was everybody else. So were those who were outside of the church. And the third thing I think the early church could teach us is that their lives made an impact. You know, it's intriguing to see the ripple effect of the impact of the early church. And we see this impact in their own attitudes. Right? They met together with glad and sincere hearts. They were a joy-filled people. They faced difficulties in an uncertain future, but they did so with joy and hope. They were thrown into prisons, and yet they sang songs of praise. Right? The early church were tortured. They were killed. And yet they were thankful that they were able to, that they were privileged enough to suffer like their Savior did. Right? God was no longer distant to these folks. He was near. There was an uncommon intimacy with the Almighty. And God was honored by the lives of his believers. His name was celebrated, and I am sure that God smiled. And we see the impact that it had on the greater community. You know, they were not viewed favorably because they catered to the world, but because of their commitment to the Lord and to one another. The people around them, they could not overlook the love and the compassion, the sincerity, the reverence, the obedience of this people. These people were the best citizens in the world. They were the best neighbors, the best friends, the best employees. Because they loved God, they saw God living through the people who surrounded them. They looked at the world through God's eyes. And they were eager to help, willing to be involved, and showed their love in words and deeds. We see an impact on those who were lost. Luke tells us that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it's not surprising, because who wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that? Wouldn't you want to know this Jesus that these people were proclaiming? And so I think, you know, as we listen to how the early church revealed the way of Christ, you know, the question for us ought to be, how do we become a church like this? And I suggest that the answer to the question comes as we ask some appropriate questions. Ask ourselves these questions, right? Am I following the way, or do I have a casual relationship with the Lord? Am I diligently working to learn more about God and His Word? Am I spending daily time in God's Word? Do I have a disciplined approach to prayer? Am I increasingly drawn to the fellowship of believers? Is my fellowship superficial, or is it deep? Do I make worship a top priority, or do other things come first? I'll be the first to say I'm convicted by these questions. Right? I hear them, and I know I want to be better. You know, we will not find the power of the early church in a program. We're not going to find the power of the early church in a style of worship. This kind of infectious joy and passion and power, it starts in the individual's heart. You know, was the early church unique in its experience and impact? I don't think so. I believe that if we will learn from the experiences of our forerunners in the faith, we will see God making a similar impact in the world through us. God wants to use us to make an impact in this world. May God help us to this end. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your presence here with us. Lord, we're thankful that at times your word can cause us some unease, and it can throw us off our center. Lord, in those moments, we pray that we would cling tightly to you, that we would ask ourselves, are we, when we come in contact with you, are we the ones becoming different? Or how are we different as a result of coming in contact with your holiness? Jesus, continue to work within us. Continue to sanctify us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, use us as you see fit. We pray all this in your precious name, O Savior. Amen. Amen. You know, church, there is no plan B, that God's plan A resides with the church. God's plan for this world resides in people like us, normal, average people, proclaiming an extraordinary God to a world that desperately needs to hear it. There is no other plan. We are it. God is calling us all up, right? We're getting called into the majors. He wants to use us to tell this world that he loves them, that they're important to him. So important that he would leave the blessing, the comforts of heaven, wrap himself in human flesh, walk among us, die a criminal's death, rise again for us. God wants us to share that message. May his love be revealed through our lives. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love for us today. We are grateful that you are calling us, Lord, not to live an inward faith, but Lord, that we would reveal who is living within us by the way that we talk and by the way that we act. Jesus, we pray that through your power, through your encouragement, we might live differently. We might live in such a way that others would see you living within us. Lord, that you might be glorified. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.